So we've been talking about meleches grama, and when is something considered grama, when is it considered not grama. We saw that certainly putting water around the fire in barrels is considered grama. What about doing melacha through the wind, using the wind as a force in melacha? So the Gemara in Shabbos on Daf Kufchaf says that it's aser to open up a door opposite a flame where there's a ruach mitzuya. And the Gemara says, where goes there, ruach mitzuya atu ruach she'ena mitzuya. In other words, if it was a ruach, if there's a big gust of wind, so that would blow out the candle. And even though right now there isn't, we're concerned that there will be, and therefore it's a problem. Sounds like that if you were to open up the door when it was already a ruach she'ena mitzuya, then that would be a melacha gemura midoraisa. It might not be doraisa technically, because putting out a fire oftentimes is anitzrich l'guf or the like, but fundamentally it's not an act of grama. In other words, if I open up the door where the wind is howling outside and in a way that when I open up the door, the wind will blow out the candle, that is not considered grama. Even though I'm simply only opening the door, it's the wind that's blowing out the candle. So the mashmos of the Gemara is that that would not be considered grama. The idea, presumably, is just as we saw last time, by shchita, by ritzicha, comes up in Hilchos Netzilos Yadayim, we assume that that is considered kocha or koach rishon, and it's not grama, even though, in a sense, all I'm doing is hasaras hamoneya, right? All I'm doing is right now, the wind is already there. The door is holding back the wind from blowing out my candle. When I open up the door, that's basically an act of hasaras hamoneya. And we see from that Gemara that hasaras hamoneya is not considered grama. And this point is made on that Gemara explicitly by Rabbeinu Hananel, who invokes the Gemara in Bava Kama that we saw earlier this year by Zorev Ruach Misayato, that the reason why this wouldn't be considered grama is because of Meleches Machsheves Asra Torah. So if we take a look at Rabbeinu Hananel over there, if you want to follow, it's on Kuf Chaf Amud Beis, a Dekevan Demash Vei Orcha, Afil Ruach Metsuya Lulabos, Umechashev Lachain, Aser B'Shabes Dehainu Meleches Machsheves. And he quotes, as I said, he quotes the Gemara, and he quotes the whole Gemara in Bava Kama to prove this. So first of all, and we're going to actually return to this question a little bit later, you see that he didn't understand that Gemara in Bava Kama narrowly and referring exclusively to Zorav Ruach Misayato, which might be the view of the Rush, as we saw. He understands this as more broadly. This principle would apply to kibui through the wind, and that's what he derives from here. So as a practical example, for instance, Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says, we're going to get back to his discussion on refrigerators in a moment, but Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says that let's imagine that every time I opened up the refrigerator, the warm air entered the refrigerator and immediately caused the engine to run. Now, it happens to be that's not the case, typically, in refrigerators. But let's say it was the case. Let's say every time you opened up the refrigerator, that would cause the temperature to rise and the engine to run. So then it would be usher. It wouldn't be, might be usher even if it's a grama, we'll see. But that wouldn't even necessarily be considered a grama, as Rabbeinu Hananel says over here. And just like the Zohar Ruach is an Isser D'Oraisa, and the Rabbeinu Hananel over here compares the two. Now, the question is this so pashat? Is this idea of Rabbeinu Hananel so pashat? So, l'chora, it's a machlokas Rishonim and a machlokas Achronim. We'll start with perhaps the Machlokas Achronim, and then we'll go back to see how it's a Machlokas Rishonim as well. In terms of the Achronim, so one place that we've already seen this matter debated, seemingly, is the Machlokas between the Magen Avram and the Eben HaOzer. I think we discussed this when we did Melachas Tochein, about using a water wheel of sorts to do Tchina. The way it used to work is they had a mechanism where the river would turn the wheel, which would cause the wheat to be ground. Would that be considered an Isser Deoraisa or not? Or would it be considered Grama? So the Magen Avram is Mekel. The Magen Avram says it's not Asser Medeoraisa, and the Eben HaOzer is Machmir. The Magen Avram is in Simen Resh Nun Beis Sif Katan Chaf. It's actually talking about Hashmas Kol there. It's not directly related. But Toch Dvarav, he writes, it's an interesting shail over there because they would make the wheat, do trin on the wheat on Shabbos, and what happens if a guy was doing it, because you have to have a Jew watch the whole process to make sure that there wasn't chimutz. But anyway, as I said, Toch Dvarav, he writes that that there'd only be an Isser Drabban, and afil nosen Yisrael Rechaim b'Shabbos, lek achi of chatas, ad sheyitchon b'Rechaim shel yad. There's only an Isser d'oraisa for tochein if you use your hands, but not if you use this water wheel. The Eben HaOzer is machmir. We saw this as well. And what's the logic of the Eben HaOzer? So in the famous Tshuva of Reb Chaim Ozer, again, we mentioned this last time, he explained what's the svara of the machmirim. Dimash Amru, this is the Lashon of Reb Chaim Ozer, Dimash Amru b'zorei v'ruach masayato, melechas machsheves asra toira, v'lo Amru shezehu etzem hamalacha, hainu dekolshu melechas machsheves, v'amalacha mis'avid b'ofen zeh, chashuv melechas machsheves. After all, why is zorei v'ruach masayato different than grama b'nezikin? Right, we know that Grama Menezikin is Potter. In the equivalent case where you use the wind in Nezikin, you're Potter. Shabbos, you're Chayev. Nezikin is Potter. The reason why it's different is because Melechas Machsheves Asra Torah. Valkain, Gam Benosin Chitim Rechaim Shalmayim. Shazoder Chatchina. So that's an important line. Once this is the normal way of doing things, Af Shebef Sharila Sosaide Trina Biyad, that's true, you could do it in a different way. In other words, the question you have to ask, if you hold like the Eben HaOzer, is why is this different than Grama Gram Kiboy? In Gram Kiboy, you're also Mechavein, L'chora, right? Gram Kiboy, you're Mechavein to put out the fire through the act of Grama. And here, you're Mechavein to crush the wheat through the grama. They're both, from a technical perspective, equally grama. So what's the difference? And don't tell me, you know, it's not mechavin lakach. In both cases, you're equally mechavin lakach. So what's the logic of the Eben HaOzer? Says Reb Chaim Ozer, So the Yesod HaDvarim that Reb Chaim Ozer seems to be saying is, when is something grama and potter slash mutter b'makom hafseid, and when is it Chayav, despite its being grama, kazav melechas machsheves asra taira? In both cases, you're equally mechavein. The answer is whether or not this is the normal way of doing things. The normal way of doing tchina is through a water wheel, so you're chayav. The normal way of putting out a fire is not through surrounding it by barrels and other types of funny grammas, and therefore it's pater slash mutter. Now, Rabbeinu Hananel just invoked the sugya in Bava Kamma. Not clear if he would accept this explanation, because Rabbeinu Hananel didn't mention anything about it being the normal way, but maybe he did, because what was the lashon of Rabbeinu Hananel? Again, after quoting the Gemara in Bava Kamma, he says, Shma mina, kevan demashve orcha filu l'ruach metzuya l'labos u'machashev l'chein aser v'shabes dainu l'achas machshabes. So what Rach might mean is exactly what Rav Chaim Ozer is saying. If you have these two conditions, A, machavein, B, normal, so then you're chayev. What did the Magen Avraham say then? Now, why did he disagree? So the Magen Avraham must have said that Zorei v'ruach masayato is different. Why? So the easiest way to explain this is what probably is the simplest reading of the Rush. Not the only reading of the Rush, but the simplest reading of the Rush, which is that the pshat is that there are certain melachos where the Torah said that they're melachos. We learn that from Melechas HaMishkan, even though they're grama. In other words, the Torah basically said you can't be Zorah B'Shabbos. Zorah B'Shabbos is grama. So the Memela, the Torah is saying that Zorah is Aser despite its being grama. But it's not like there's a general principle that says anytime something is grama, it's chayav. When it's mechavin lakachan, that's the normal thing to do. No. When the Torah said Zorah is chayav, Memela, it's saying that sometimes it's chayev even when it's grama. In other words, to put it a little differently, the Yesod HaDvarim in the Gemara Bava Kamma could be explained in one of two ways. The Gemara Bava Kamma said Zara B'ruach Masayato is chayev on Shabbos. It's different from Nezikin, Malach, Smach, Shabbos, Asper, Torah. What is that saying? Option A is a broad rule that anytime it's Neskaima Machshavto, at least if this is the normal way of doing things, then it's chayv on Shabbos, even though it's only technically a grama. Or B, a little more narrowly, that the Torah is telling us that when the tzura of the malacha is alide grama, then you're chayv, mashen ke nezikin, perhaps because the machayv over there is different. It's also hafsid chavero, and if it's done by grama, it's pater. So it would seem, and this is, I think, the way a number of achronim say this. I think I saw this in the Menachas Asher, is that that's the machlokas between the Magen Avraham and the Eben Hozer, maybe between the Rush versus Rabbeinu Hananel, what exactly we learn from Zora V'ruach Mesayato. What do some of the other Rishonim say? Do we have any rayos from other Rishonim on this question? So maybe we'll talk about just some of the Rishonim that we've already seen in the Malachos. So one potential raya that the Achronim bring is the Ran by Kosev, back to the sugya of Chok Tuchos. If you remember, the Gemara says that if you take a ches and you erase the gag, so now there's two zainin, you are chayev. So what does that teach us? So the Rashba says, you see from there that it's not Chok Tuchos. Because if it was Chok Tuchos, then it wouldn't be Kosev Linyan Shabbos. And the Ran said no. Maybe in a chanami for other halachos of ksiva, like a get, this would be invalid. But for Shabbos, it's different. Even if it is considered chok tuchos yer chayev, why? Melechas machshaves asra Torah. So what is that telling us? L'chora, what the Ran is saying, is exactly what the broader reading, what we're calling the first option, we're attributing to Rabbeinu Hananel, the Eben HaOzer. It's that type of mehalech in terms of what Meleches Machshaves teaches us. That any time it's Meleches Machshaves, you could be chayev, even though in terms of other areas of the Torah, this would be considered passive, grama. Chaktuchos is very similar to grama. In other words, you didn't write the letters. The letters were formed from your removal of everything around them. And it's very similar type of svara to the Eben HaOzer, to the Rach. It's also, by the way Rashi in Bava Kamma sounds like. Rashi in Bava Kamma says, Niskaima machshavto denichalei beruach misayato. The mashmos is that, again, focusing on niskaima machshavto, very much like the Ran says, the Rach and the Eben HaOzer and the like. Now, as we already noted before. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sorry, even though it's not Orchei, even though it's not there for the Ksiva.
No, they don't say Orchei, it's true. Now, Rashi didn't say anything about Orchei, but we'll have to come on to Orchei to explain why Gram Kiboy is mutter. But you're right, there's no, Rashi himself doesn't say that. Well, you know what? Let's say it like this. This is, let's take one step back. Maybe we should have started with this question. Let's ask a very basic question, a simple question, which is if you take this broader approach, the approach we're now attributing to Rabbeinu Hananel, Rashi, Ran, maybe the Eben HaOzer. So the question is, again, this is the question we saw that Rabbi Chaim HaOzer asks, right? What is the difference between Gram Kiboy, that's Mutter, and other forms of grama b'mechavein, which we say are chayv. Both cases, you're mechavein, and yet in one case it's mutter, or at least pater, in one case it's chayv. So how do we answer that question? So answer number one we saw was the Achi Hazer, right? That's, again, if you want to look it up, it's Chelek Kimmelson and Samach, and he says that it depends if that's the normal way of doing melacha. Okay, that's answer number one. Answer number two, And we're going to see four answers that are in the Achronim. So that's answer number one. These four answers are collected. This is at least the way I think Rav Asher Weiss organizes it. I'm not sure where. I think it's in the Tshuva somewhere. I heard it on a shir. So that's answer number one, the Rav Chaim HaOzer. Again, let's just make sure we're clear what we're doing. Our question is, if you follow... If you hold like this simple reading of the Rush, again, maybe even the Rush doesn't mean this, but we'll call it the simple reading of the Rush. So then it's easy to understand why Mechabe is different than Zorah Beruach. Zorah Beruach, the Torah said, you're chai for Zorah, and Mamele you're chai for Grama, but not Mechabe. But if you hold like the Ran, that since it's Melechas Machshaves, you're chai of on Shabbos when it's Niskama Machshavto. So Gram Kiboy is also Niskama Machshavto. So answer number one, the normal way to put out a fire is not Alidei Grama. The normal way to do Zora is Alidei Grama. You know, the difficulty of this answer is what Yossi said before, which is that works well in the Rach. The Rach may indeed allude to this idea, but it's a little shver in Rashi and the Ran, who don't say this at all. They seem to focus on Niskama Machshavto, especially the Ran. I think it's shver, because that's certainly not the normal way you would write, right? By erasing the Gago Shel Ches. So I think that's a weakness in that answer. So what other options are there besides Rav Chaim HaOzer? So another answer is the Zera Emes. This Zera Emes is quoted by the Beis Yitzchak in Or Chaim Simen Nun Zayin. And he basically answers that it depends if the effect is immediate or not. Namely, in the case of Kiboy, it's not immediate. What's happening? You surround the talus with water or barrels, and you wait a couple minutes. And when the fire spreads to the water, it's going to go out. In a case of Zorah Beruach, it's basically immediate. You throw your wheat into the air, and the wind blows away the chaff. And certainly, then, we could explain the Ran. In the case of the Ran, the effect is immediate. As soon as you erase your gago shelches, you're left with your two zainin. That's basically the answer of the Zera MS.
Would Rebbe say it's Yadarma and Rashi?
So, yes. So this is a similar point. But it's not identical. Let me explain. The Yesod of Rashi, let's say, in Sanhedrin, is that when it's immediate, it's not grama. But that could be, so it could be saying the same thing, but it could be a little bit different because over there, it's mamish amaisa biyadayim. We will say that the Hasara Samonea releasing the water that now lands on the person isn't an act of grama. It's giri delay. It's your actions. Over here, what we're saying is something a bit different. We're saying that it is grama, but that doesn't matter when the effect is immediate. So again, it might be that they're saying the same thing, but it might be a little bit different. It might be the pshat is that the chiddush of the Zera Emes is even when we acknowledge the indirectness from a technical perspective, it could be Rashi isn't saying that anytime the effect is immediate, it's automatically not grama. It could be saying that in the case of bidka demaya, when the effect is immediate, it's not grama.
But the inverse is true, though. But the inverse of halacha zman, the water rushes down, and then it tells him at the end that Rashi would say that no, it's grama, and the Yadarma would say right. No, it's not. That would maybe be applicable.
Right. Well, what the Rama might be saying is that again. So for Rashi, it's very simple. In other words, the Zera MS will have no problem with Rashi. The question is, what you're asking, Yossi, is could you hold like the Zera MS and also hold like the Rama? Because the Rama says they could have a case that's not immediate. So the answer might be, you're right. The Zera MS is not like the Yad Rama, because the Yad Rama is trying to answer the question on technical grounds, meaning to say, he's looking at the level of whether this is direct or indirect. And the Zera MS is saying, no, it just depends on the immediacy of the action. Or conceivably, you could argue, and this, I think, I'd need to think about this a little more. I'm not sure if it makes sense. But conceivably, you could argue that they're consistent. And what the Rama is saying is that in the event that it's technically direct, even though it takes a bit of time, that's okay because it's technically direct. Let's give an example. Let's imagine that it's not bidka demaya even. I go ahead and I pour the water on the person, right? I throw the water on the person, or I pour the water down a hill and it rolls onto the person. So we might say that even though it takes a little bit of time for it to get to the person, right? Because, you know, I'm standing 1,000 feet above him, the top of the World Trade Center, he's right below and I'm pouring water on his face and killing him that way. So it takes a couple, I don't know how long it takes to get from the top of the World Trade Center, maybe it takes some time, but still that is not in any way indirect. And therefore, the time delay is irrelevant. The chiddush of the Zera Emes is that even when we acknowledge that from the technical perspective, this is considered indirect, if there's no time delay, then that's irrelevant, at least when it's Niskayma Machshavto. Okay, so that's approach number one. And the Menuchas Asher points out this is also the view of the Pnei Yeshua, maybe, in Be'achaf Beis Amud Aleph. The Chazon Ish also considers such a possibility. Answer number two, or that was two. Answer number three is the Dovev Meisharim, and there might be others who say this as well, who claims that it's dependent upon whether it's a Vadai or a Suffolk. Again, what's the stira we're trying to answer? What's the difference between Gram Kiboy, which is Mutter, and Zorev Ruach Misayata, which is Chayev? Chaktuchos, which is Chayev. So the answer is that when there is certainty, then it's Aser. When is Grama Mutter? When there's at least some Suffolk, when you do the action, will the machshava happens. So zora b'shas haruach, at the very least, if the wind is blowing, so it's certainly going to separate the chaff from the wheat. Whereas gram kiboy, maybe it will go out, or maybe it won't. The Dovev Meisharim argues that this is the position of the Rashban daf kuf chaf. We actually mentioned this last time. If there it's talking about gram mechikas Hashem, and the Rashba sounds like he's saying that if it's certainly going to be nimchak, then you can't put your hand in the water. This is when you have the shame written on your hand. And the Rashba says something like, it's like mishaf sheif mamish. In other words, everybody's going to agree that if you have the shame written on your skin and you rub it, so then that's not grama, that's mechikas Hashem mamish. What about just putting it into the mikvah, putting it into the water? So what the Rashba sounds like he's saying is that if you put your hand in the water and it's certainly going to be erased, then it's not grama. If you put your hand into the water and the water may or may not erase the shame, so then it's grama. So what we see from that Rashba is that whether something is grama or not is not always related to the degree to which it is technically direct, but rather it relates to the degree to which it's certain to happen. Now, again, what both, I guess all three answers that we've seen so far are arguing is that we know sometimes grama's chayev, we know sometimes grama's mutter or potter. How do you know the difference? The difference is not in their level of directness, right? What I was calling before the technical degree to which they're grama. The difference is not whether you're mechavein lekach, because they're both equally mechavein lekach. There must be some other way to distinguish whether something's grama or not. And here we have three approaches so far. Reb Chaim Ozer, is this normal? The Zera Emes, is it immediate? The Dovev Meisharim, is it certain? And finally, a fourth distinction is in the Shelti Giborim, also on the Sugyan Shabbos Daf Kof Chaf, and we saw this last time. And he says that Gram Kiboy is Mutter when Ein Kavanaso L'Chabos. And that's the way he learned the Tur. The Yeshua Siako says that. Now that's obviously a very simple answer, but it's one that's probably not correct for most Rishonim, as the Shilte Giborim and the Beis Yosef both point out. And even the Tur, as we saw the Achronim suggest, might not even be saying that. Though that is the way the Shelti Giborim and the Beis Yosef read the Tur, that might not be the case. So we have here four answers in the Achronim. How to summarize? Well, let's summarize again from the beginning. We have some cases where Grama's Chayev, namely Zor V'Ruach. Other cases where Grama's Mutter, like Gram Kiboy. What's the difference? So for the Rosh Bipashtas, and this is the view of the Magen Avraham Bipashtas, the difference is whether or not the Torah, Rum is always Pater, but unless the Torah said this particular Malacha, like Zoras Chayev, even though it's Grama. Other Rishonim, Rashi, the simple reading of the Ran, simple reading of the Rach, say no. They say that it's not limited to Zorah. If it's not limited to Zorah, so then you have to figure out why is Zorah different than Ground Kiboy. And we had four answers. Depends on whether this is the normal way of doing the Malacha, the Tziach Yezer, Shilta Giborim, it's only Mutter if you're Mechavein, and then, or whether it's immediate, or whether it's Vade. Now, I think that there are obviously a lot of nafgaminas for this. Maybe we'll get back to this a little later, but for example, you know, when you're donning on the grama machines, are grama machines going to actually be grama or not? Wheelchairs, let's say, where they somehow or another work in a technical way, al yidei grama. So will that actually be grama? So, you know, for each of these answers, we're going to have to figure that out. If you hold it's taloi in vadai, so yeah, those are pretty vadai, right? When you push the joystick to move the wheelchair forward, so it's going to go forward. It's not like, you know, every so often it's going to stay where it is. If you say that it's taloi in miyad, so those types of things are pretty miyad. It may be a minor, not miyad, but l'chora, that's not, you know, even in the case of Zohar Ruach, there's like a little delay, right? We don't know. So I would think those are miyad. I once asked someone who has such a Shabbos wheelchair, do you notice the difference? So he says, yes, you do notice the difference, but that's because he does it. Said it's like the difference between, you know, driving a Buick and driving a Porsche. During the week, it's like a Porsche. You know, as soon as you move the joystick a little bit, it'll react immediately. On Shabbos, it's like driving a Buick. You know, you turn the wheel and a little later, the car starts moving. But you know, we wouldn't really, it's hard to argue that's grama. And not if you hold that it's dependent on immediacy, right? If you hold of the Achiezer's answer, for example, then maybe there's what to talk about, because this is definitely not the normal way to do it. Nobody would ever invent a wheelchair that worked all day grama. It's much more complex. It's less efficient. It is, you know, somewhat less responsive, right? And in fact, if you have these types of wheelchairs during the week, you always turn off the Shabbos grama mode. There's like a switch on it. This is, I think it's made by Machon Somet, I think. So if you hold of that answer, of Reb Chaim Ozer's answer, then you could try to argue that it would be okay. If you hold of the Shilta Giborim approach, then it certainly would be Aser, because you're definitely Mechavim. So anyway, we'll get back to what the post can say about these grama machines.
How does the grama machine work by the wheelchair? How does it work differently?
Again, I'm not 100% sure. I started reading some of these articles and I didn't read them carefully or finish them. But the basic way they work, all these grama machines work, is on a loop. Meaning to say that I go ahead and I let's just do a switch. It's easier, right? I flip a switch. Let's say, give an example of a light switch. So I flip a light switch. So normally, as soon as I turn it on the on position, that closes the circuit, and which causes the electricity to run through the circuit and the light is illuminated. Here, when you flip the switch, nothing actually happens. And then there is a checker which goes around. Now, on a loop. Now, it could be a 5-second loop. In other words, every 5 seconds, it checks to see if the switch is on or off. And if it's in the on position, then the light will go on. So when I flip the switch, the light will go on, you know, could be in 4 seconds or 3 seconds or 2 seconds or 1 second, almost immediately if it was about to go on, but nothing happens immediately. There's this second loop that checks. Now that's an example of a 5 second delay. A 5 second delay, you know, 5 second loop would not work on something like a wheelchair. You'd always be crashing into walls, into people and other things. It would be very dangerous, right? But you could also do the same type of mechanism, but it checks it every quarter of a second, right? Or every tenth of a second or something like that. So that is the way I think these things work. Now, obviously, there are going to be other factors here. Are we dealing with an Isser Drabbanan, or are we dealing with an Isser Deraisa? There'd be more room for leniency if we're dealing with an Isser Drabbanan, obviously. You know, when you're talking about something like a wheelchair, there is a big inyan of Kavada Brios. If you have someone who's basically independent the whole week, he's able to get around on his own. He doesn't need to ask someone to push him to shul or push him to the bathroom or the like. And now all of a sudden on Shabbos, he's dependent upon someone else for everything. That is something that is quite difficult for the person. And it is an issue of Kavada Brios. We're talking about, you know, chola. So certainly, you know, if we could treat it as a grama, then there's definitely going to be room for leniency, even if we're going to talk about that next, whether grama's pater or mutter. But even if grama is generally usser, this is a very significant need. But the question is this actually grama or not? So we'll get back to that question a little bit later. But you could certainly see how this question would be talui in the chakira that we said before. Again, maybe another sniff is that you also have the view of the Magen Avraham and the Rush, who are more mekel. But on the other hand, I think we generally speaking, most achronim did reject that Magen Avraham. They do accept the view of the Avin Ha'ozer. Though again, that's a deraisa shaila. Here we're dealing with probably a derabanan shaila, using an electric wheelchair, at least if you hold, you take the approach of Shlomo Zalman, and again, that's the approach that Rabbi Willig takes and others, that an electrical device like a wheelchair that doesn't have incandescent bulbs or anything like that is probably only derabanan, doesn't have any fires or spark plugs or the like. So then there might be a little more room for leniency. Anyway, we'll get back to those grama machines in a while. Let's talk, though, more broadly about the general issues of grama. So the next question, probably the most basic question that we have to figure out, is whether grama is actually pater or mutter. Obviously, the Gemara that we saw last time said that in the case of kiboy, it's mutter. But it is interesting, and it quoted the drasha, gramahu, losas kom lachas yuda asar gramahu deshari. So there's no question grama is not nisar deraisa, and it's mutter in the case of kiboy. We don't really find other places in Masechta Shabbos where the Gemara says that grama is mutter. So the question is, should we see this as an example of a general principle that gram kiboy is mutter, and therefore all grama is mutter, or is it an exception? So the Mordechai discusses this in Shin Sadi Tess, and he quotes from Rabbeinu Yoel, who says that we're only matir it b'makom hefseid, like in the case of kiboy. It doesn't have to be hefseid meruba. Talis achas ba'or is mutter. Talis may not necessarily be a hefseid meruba. Didn't say that we're talking about a very expensive talis. But it has to be makom hefseid. If it's not a makom hefseid, it's mutter. L'chaorah, the Gemara also sounds like the makom mitzvah would be mutter, because the Gemara is matir gram mechikas Hashem if tefillah bizman a mitzvah, if there's a mitzvah to do the tefillah. So we have a kula b'makom mitzvah, we have a kula b'makom hefsed, but otherwise it's aser. And Rabbeinu Yoel makes clear that's true, bein b'shabbos, bein b'yantif. The Magen Avraham, though, which we quoted last time, Siman Tav Kuf Yod Dalet Sifkatan Zayin, is medayik from the Rush that clearly he thinks it's mutar l'chatchila. How do you know that? Because if you remember, the Rush asked on Tosfos' Kasha from Tosfos' Mahalich. Tosfos said that it would be theoretically, Alts Grama would be mutter to, let's say, cut off the bottom of a wax candle. Might be Asar Alts Tikkun Kli, but it wouldn't be Asar Alts Kiboy. And the reason is, it's only the reason why siphoning off oil from the lamp is aser is because it immediately, the flame gets smaller. And the Rush says, how could you say that? Because then it should be no problem to take oil from the shfoferes, from the, you have a reserve oil tank in the eggshell. There's no problem when you take the oil out of the reserve shell tank, reserve oil tank, there's no immediate kiboy. It should be mutter according to Tosfos. Yeah, the Gemara clearly assumes it's aser. Now, maybe if the Rush held, like the Mordechai, that there's an iser drabanan by grama, so it's not a kasha, we'll just say, yeah, that's aser alts grama, right? Now, you could be doch the right a little bit. You could say, well, we wouldn't have been made a gzeira atu, something that's only an iser drabanan of grama. But the Pashtus is the fact that we Tosfos, the Rush asked the Kasha b'pshitos, that according to Tosfos, it should be mutter, and that's what the Lashon of the Rush sounds like. According to Tosfos, that should be mutter. So the Rush holds that there's no Isser derabanan of grama across the board. Just like Gram Kiboy's mutter, all grama's mutter. And probably that's the view of most Rishonim who don't mention this. There might be diukim from a handful of other Rishonim. The Shaar Tzion, as we'll see, notes this. But for the most part, the other Rishonim don't say this. The Ramah, though, paskins l'chumra, like Rabbeinu Yoel and Hilchos Shabbos. We'll talk about Yantif in a moment. The Mechaber does not bring it down, which sounds like, it's not clear, but it's like maybe the Mechaber does not hold of the Chumra of Rabbeinu Yoel. There's a tshuva Rav Avadia about this question, about what the Mechaber holds. The position, though, of the Ramah is complicated by what he says in Hilchos Yantif. We saw this last time. Even though the Ramah's Machmir, as I said, it's a Shin Lamedalid Sifchav Beis in Hilchos Shabbos, but in Yantif, in Yantif, he is Mekel. And the Ramah, at least that's what it sounds like. It's a simple reading of the Ramah. We read it last time in Tav Kuf Yud Daled. The Ramah sounds like he's Mekel by Yantif. He says, for example, you're allowed to cut off the bottom of the candle, assuming you don't do it with a kli, with a knife. Even though that's grama. So A, he paskins like Tosfos that's grama, and B, he says it's mutter. And the Shaar Tzion over here, Sifkatan Lamed Aleph, notes that must be that the Ramah holds that we're Mekel by Yantif. So the question is, why would you be Mechalik between Shabbos and Yantif? Right? The Rush is Mekel, L'chora, Bein B'Shabbos, Bein B'Yantif. The Mordechai, Rabbeinu Yoel, is Machmir, Bein B'Shabbos, Bein B'Yantif. So why in the world would the Ramah say it's Mutter and Yantif, Asr and Shabbos? The Taz asks this question. And the Taz says that the Ramah's, no other Rishon holds this way. Lo matzinu chaver l'shitazu. And the Shaar Tzion quotes this Taz. However, l'chora there is another Rishon that holds this way, and that's the Taisus on Daf Chav Beis of Beitza. And the Maamar Mordechai makes this point, as noted by the Shaar Tzion. Tosfos over there says something along the lines of grama on Shabbos is potter, eno chayv chatas, I think it says, and on Yantif, he says it's mutter. So, okay, so that's certainly helpful. There's another Rishon that might say this, that makes the chiluk, but we still have to wonder, why should there be a chiluk? In other words, generally speaking, we're not more makel on Yantif than on Shabbos. Yantif might be a lav, not skila, but that's not a reason to be makel. And adrava, sometimes we're even more machmer on yantif because people are born mezalzel. So if it's not something that has to do with ochel nefesh, then why should we be more makel on yantif than Shabbos? Again, maybe rare occasions we have. We saw the Rambam by Kavod Abrios by building the toilet out of stones. He might be more makel on yantif than Shabbos. So we might have some chilukim, but l'chayra, any chiluk has to be justified because min astam, we are not mechalik. So even if we found a chaver for the Rama in Tosus and Beitza, but we still have to ask, why would you be mechalik? So one possibility is to say that really, even on Shabbos, the Rama doesn't think it's really me'ikar hadin mutter, usser. It's a chumra epis. This seems to be the view of Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach in Mincha Shlomo, Chelek Aleph, Simen Yud, Os Vav, who basically says that really me'ikar hadin, even on Shabbos, it's mutter. And even though the Mordechai is machmir, but mecha teisi to be machmir. Is there a source in Shas to be machmir? The Gemara says Grama's Aser. I noted that, and I don't know, obviously there's probably a limitation to how powerful this Raya is, but the Gra, for example, on that Chumra, the Mordechai by Shabbos, doesn't have any Makor in Shas for it. So I don't know, but maybe it's because there is no Makor in Shas for it. And that's, I think, what Rav Shlomo Zalman is saying. It's a Chumra. It's not Medina. Oh, so something is a chumra. So then you could understand why we'll be more makel on yantif. Because it's not really aser mikra din. And obviously, this would have a lot of other nafkaminas. First of all, you know, even from the Gemara, we find that, right? Why are we so makel on Shabbos b'makom hafseid, right? We don't find any other shvus that we waive for a hafseid. Even Amira Lenachri, which is probably the most lenient of all the shvusim, right? It's shvus de ein bo maisa. We waive, for example, amira lenachri for chola, even though we don't waive any other iser, derabanan, according to many rishonim, and more or less according to the way we paskin, right? And so we're not makel for amira lenachri b'makom hefseid, more or less. And yet, grama, we're matir. So the answer is because Grama really isn't even aser mikar adin. It's a chumra. So if it's a chumra, then you know, we could be more makel on hilchus yantif. Another possibility, maybe the other extreme, is that the Rama actually would aser Grama on yantif. This is the approach taken by the Chazon Ish, Simen Lamed Ches, Os Zayin. And he argues, right? Doesn't make sense that you would be more makel on yantif. Not like the Mishnah Brura, the simple reading of the Rama, that the Rama is makel for Grama on yantif. So why is the Chazon Ish makel? Why does the Chazon Ish think that the Rama is makel? Because he thinks that actually cutting off the bottom of the candle wouldn't, not with a clay, with it, wouldn't even be Grama. And that's why he's matir. It's a fascinating chiddush, Ein Sham, right? It means that what the Rush thinks isn't grama because it's biadayim, cutting off the bottom of the candle. The Rama thinks isn't grama, it's less than grama, right? It's a big gap. But that's basically the direction that the Chazon Ish goes because he also doesn't think it makes sense to be mechale between Shabbos and Yantif.
Excuse me, in what way is it less than grama? I don't understand.
Ayin Sham. But the Pashtus is that the Rama is Makel on Yantif, but actually Aser is Medina on Shabbos, not like the other two approaches. Now we should note that even if that's the view of the Rama, not everybody accepts it. The Magen Avraham, Sifkat and Hay writes that even if Rama's Makel on Yantif by Grama, we don't pask in that way. It's only Mutter B'Makom Hafseid. I saw even Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, this is in Mincha Shlomo, Chelek Beis, Simen Chaf Beis, Oz Beis, that you shouldn't use the heter of grama on yantif bekvios. It's mutter ba'akrai, but not bekvios. But it is worth noting that other poskim say, no, we accept the Rama all the way, and grama is mutter l'chatchil on yantif as much as you want. And in fact, the star K yantif mode, which is really Shabbos mode. I don't want to get into all the details now, but most new stoves and ovens in America come with something that's called Shabbos mode. Now, Shabbos mode for Shabbos is basically one thing. It basically allows you to open the oven and the light doesn't turn on and the like. But it's more relevant for Yantif. It allows you to use your oven on Yantif. And not only that, but it allows you to change the temperature on Yantif. Now, the way it works, and again, you could look at the Star K website for details. This is a bit of an oversimplification. But the way it works is, for one thing, there's no expression of what you're doing. In other words, during the week, you know, if you want to go from 325 to 375, you press the button, and now it says 375. In the olden ovens, it was easier, olden day ovens, because then you just turn the knob and nothing happens. It just lets in more gas. That would also be okay on Yantif to raise the flame of the oven. But nowadays, you couldn't do it the normal way because it'll say 375 instead of 325. So when the Shabbos mode is on, and you raise the temperature, nothing happens that you see. And moreover, it's done al yedei grama. So why should that be mutter on Yantif? Says the Star K, pushing a button on an oven during Yantif when in Shabbos mode starts a process internal to the computer without any heat, light, sound, movement, or anything tangible that can be perceived. This is not considered melacha and permitted on Yantif. When the melacha is finally accomplished, namely turning on the heating element in the oven, it is done through grama because there is a delay of 15 to 25 seconds before the heating element can be activated. And grama is mutter on Yantif, not on Shabbos. And not only that, but as opposed to the old-fashioned ovens, where usually you couldn't lower the flame, you could only raise the flame on Yantif. You could only lower the flame if that would wreck the, if the higher flame is going to ruin the food, because kibbuy is not mutter, let's say, to save money. It's only mutter to prevent the food. But when it comes to these Shabbos mode ovens, so again, the Star K said, can you lower it on Yantif if not for the benefit of the food? And the Star K answered that because there is this delay and it's grama, it's permissible on Yantif. This is because the reaction of the oven in lowering the temperature is the result of grama. And we permit grama on Yantif. Psh, okay. Now, according to some poskim that we've seen thus far, this wouldn't be grama just because it's a 15-second delay. And according to other poskim that we've seen, like the Magen Avraham, even if it is grama, it's asur on Yantif. And even if we accept the Rama, who is makel on Yantif, and we assume that the pshat and his kula is that we're makel on Yantif, we saw Shlomo Zalman says that you shouldn't do this bekvius. So if you're always changing every Yantif, you change the temperature of your oven on Yantif mode, then that would be against Rosh Shlomo Zalman. So it would seem that Rabbi Heinemann, in using the Star K Yantif mode settings, is saying, no, we're not choshish for Rosh Shlomo Zalman, we're not choshish for the Chazon Ish, we're not choshish for the Magen Avraham. We hold grama, like the simple reading of the Rama, Rama and Yantif is mutter. This is the sheet of Tosfos, as the Maamar Mardechai explains, and therefore it's no problem. You can do it on Yantif. But we don't do this on Yantif. I think, you know, we use our Shabbos mode on Yantif, but we just leave it the same temperature the whole time. We don't raise it or lower it on Yantif. But that's the this question that comes up on all these new ovens is, you know, that's what's behind this shaila. Okay, let's for a moment take a step back and talk about another basic question, which is, we saw at the very beginning of this year that there are cases that you seem to be sometimes chayv on grama, right? Like the Gemara Bava Kama Daf Samach says by Zohar Ruach Misayato. And the question is, are there any limitations on that? So we already talked about a number of possible limitations, maybe according to Rush, only Zora. According to other Rishonim, let's say Reb Chaim Ozer, even, he says this, I think, even in the Rush, now anything that's the normal way of doing the Malacha, or other Achronim, if it's immediate, or it's direct, or it's Vadai, Ayin Sham. Are there any other limitations to that? So let's, for the moment, learn like Reb Chaim Ozer, which I think is a very mekubal mahalich. So let's, for a moment, learn like Reb Chaim Ozer. So Reb Chaim Ozer concluded that any time that it's the normal way to do it, and you're mechavein lekach, it is not grama, and therefore it's chayev. Example one, zorev ruach misayato. Example two, the Evan HaOzer, by using the water wheel for tochein. Are there any other limitations? So one very important limitation is an idea that we saw in the Rambam by Tzeda. If you remember, the Rambam implied, this is certainly the way the Shar HaTzion Shin Tazayin Sif Katan Yud Gimel told us, is the Pshat in the Rambam, that you are chayav on Seda al Yedei Grama when you send off the dogs to catch the fox or the deer or whatever it is. So you're chayav according to the Rambam. And the way the Mishnah Berurah over there explained is because that's the normal way to hunt. And therefore, since it's the normal way to hunt, you are chayev. So, as I mentioned, the Mishnah Berurah seems to say a pshat very similar to Reb Chaim Ozer. And an example is Tzeda. But what's very interesting about that Rambam is that it's still only going to be chayev when you work together with the dogs. This is also in the Rambam over there. Perk Yud, Halacha Chaf Beis. Hamishaleach klavim kedesh yatzudu tzvayim ve'arnavim kiyotze bahen uvarach hatzvi mepnei hakelev v'haryahu rodev achar hatzvi o she'amad b'fana v'hivhilo ad she'gi hakelev v'tafso harei zeh told us hatzad v'chayev v'chein ha'oseh k'derech hazu be'ofos. So the Rambam tells us that if you just send out your dogs to catch your tzvi, you wouldn't be chayav. And that's true, I think, even if it was the derech hatzayatim. And why is that? Because to be chayav for grama, even when it's dark obekach, you need to participate. You need to participate. And if there's no human participation, then you're surely pater. Just like by Zohar Beruach. Zohar Beruach, the human participates, right? The human being takes the pitchfork, he throws the taroves of ochel and psolas into the air, the wheat and chaff into the air, and then the wind blows away the chaff and the wheat falls down. So it's a shutfus, as it were, between the human. The human is harnessing the power of the wind to do his bidding, but he participates. And likewise, when you send the dogs out after the animal, and then you are mishtatef by, you know, closing in on the animal and causing them to run into the dogs. So then you're chayev. So you see from here that even if you hold of this idea, still you need participation. Again, maybe you could be doch the rai, you could say, no, you're pater because it's not dark obakach, but I think the pashtus is, it is dark obakach. And another place where you might see this, I think this is less clear, this is also in the Zera Emes and is quoted, if you want to look, in the Orcho Shabbos, in Chela Gimel, page Resh Chavav. The Orcho Shabbos is a very nice discussion in Chela Gimel on Grama. And he says, you see this idea from Tosos on Daf Yud Zayin Mabeis. We talked about this Tosos when we did Seda. And Tosos over there said that if you put out a trap and an animal comes into the trap 2 hours later, you're potter. Even though surely that's Derech Bnei Adam. So why is that? It must be that even though it's Derech Bnei Adam, it's still a grama. And here it's not really human participation. Certainly there's no immediate participation. The human let down the trap and the animal wandered its way in. And therefore it's potter. And the truth is, I don't actually think that's a great raya, because I think the yesod might still be correct, but as a raya, it's not a great raya, because over there, Tosfos says that the reason why you're potter is because eino yodea and yatzodim lav. In other words, it's not potter just als grama. And the Prima Gadim, Eshel Avram Shintazayin Os Tas, says that according to Tosfos, maybe if there are so many animals that it would vadai catch an animal, then it would be chayev. Agav, that's sort of reminiscent of the idea that we said before from the Dovid Misharim. And anyway, also, if you remember, the Chazon Ish Lamed Ches Aleph disagreed with the simple reading of that Tosfos, which we mentioned, the Mishnah Berurah's reading of that Tosfos, and said that you would be chayev also, regardless, even if the animal walked in a little later. But so even though I don't think Tosfos is a good raya, I do think that the Yesod, the idea from the Rambam, the Raya from the Rambam, that you only chayev for grama, even if it's darko bakach, when there's active human involvement. So I think that is a very good raya. Another place, by the way, maybe, where you even see that grama's chayev when it's darko bakach, though this is less clear, is the fact that you're chayev on bishul. Bishul, I go ahead and I put the food down on the fire and an hour later it's cooked. So why isn't that considered like Zora Beruach? Meaning to say it's the fire that causes the bishul. So if you hold of the Darko Bekach business, so then it's very easy to explain. Or if you hold like the Rashash, it's also easy to explain, right? Because the Rashash basically says the Machayev is putting the pot down on the fire. But the Pashtus, we don't accept that Rashash, as we said in the beginning of the year. Pashtus is, let's say you put the pot down on the fire, but it only reached Machol Ben Drusai after Shabbos is over, you would be potter. In which case, the Chiyuv takes place when it reaches Machol Ben Drusai, and you could have looked at it as grama, right? In both cases, it's just like Zohar Beruach, you're partnering with the force of nature to accomplish a malacha, even though, in a sense, I'm passive. So if you hold that anytime it's dark, then it's easy to understand. But even if you hold like the Rosh or the Magen Avraham, we would say, okay, but when the Torah is Machayev for Bishul, it includes this, so obviously you're Chayev. So this wouldn't be a Nafka Mina, but it might be another example. All right, so maybe we'll stop here. I hope we'll finish up this topic on Thursday. We'll finish Thursday on Grama and Kiboy. I want to talk a little bit about Eshom Mishum Chitzav, and we'll talk about Shabbos clocks, and especially the question of changing Shabbos clocks on Shabbos, which is a very interesting and common question. Could you ever change them? So that's what we'll discuss. We'll return to the question of Grama machines. And we'll talk about refrigerators. That's an important shaila. And generally, we'll discuss the psik resha begrama. And then maybe on Sunday, we'll do havara. And then we'll stop. I think that'll be it. On Sunday, we'll try to finish. We'll do Havara on Sunday. Then we'll take the rest of the week for Chazara. I'll give a Bechina at some point from the last one. And then Be'ezras Hashem the following week, in other words, a week from this coming Sunday, a little more than a week and a half, we'll start on the Mitzvos Aseh of Shabbos, our summer limud, which we'll start from the sugyas in Arvei Pesachim and do Kiddush and Havdalah. And again, we'll see how to do it. Maybe we'll go back to 2 days a week for that. So that'll be the basic plan going forward. Okay.
Would Rabbi explain by the rush by when you say safe enough oil and an hour later it goes out? Why is that not a grammar?
Because it's all one system. So it's an immediate act. In other words, there's no time delay. No, you're saying what it is true that the actual kibbutz doesn't take place for an hour, right? The candle continues to burn for another hour, but the whole yesod of the rush is that is not grama. Let me read you the lashon of the rush, because it says it very clearly. Perush again, if you want to follow along, it's in Perk Beis and Maseches Beis Simon Yud Zayin. So first he quotes Tosfos, who says it's grama if it's not immediate, and then he proves from Shfoferes that that's not the case. Hilkach nerali taima de mistapek min haner mishum shememaher kibuyav. In a chanami, you're chayev because memar kibuyav. V'af rabbanan de Rabbi Yossi modu behai gram kibuy de chayev. This type of gram kibuy is chayev. Now it's very interesting. He's acknowledging in a sense it's gram kibuy, but nevertheless he's saying you're chayev. Griyaniskai. Now there's a machlokas achronim, whether chayev here should be seen as dafka or lav dafka. Obviously, it's not, you know, it might be technically not chayev if you hold like Reb Shimon because it's ein shikol gufa, but let's say that wasn't an issue. Let's say you held that a chas al hashemen is chayev. So is he, we're going to, for now, let's read the Rush Kipshuto. Though again, there are a number of achonim who think it doesn't make sense to say this, but we'll read a Kipshuto that, again, leaving aside Melach Shein Shrichel Gufa, you'd be chayef. Why? So why is that, right? It's grama, right? And in a sense, he's even acknowledging it's grama, right? Because he says, you know, modu b'hai gram kiboy d'chayef. So it is grama, but you're nevertheless chayef. Why? De'ad kan lo palig hasam elamishim de'enu nogea bidavar hadolek. When is it that gram kibui is mutter? When you're not touching the actual thing that's lit. El osa davar chutzalo. You're acting upon something that's external to it. Hagoreim es hakibui kishite giyashama hadleika. That will cause kibui when it reaches there. Avohacha Hashem and vapsila shtem garmin es hadleika. There are two things that cause this to be lit now. The shaman and the psila. They're like one unit. All the shaman is considered one unit. So when you take away from one of them, then you're chayav. Anu taima denosin shaman b'ner. And the reverse is also true. When you add fuel to the fire, you're chayav because you're marach b'avaso, b'havaraso. De'ilu lo nasan shaman b'ner, hayakava. Kishichal Hashem Shabiner, right? If I didn't add oil, it would go out, let's say, in 10 minutes. Now that I added oil, it'll go out in an hour. Umashu dolik mikan ba'elacha bekilu hu hedliko. So the continual lighting is as though you did it. V'chein l'inyan kiboy, nami mehara kiboy, aydesh mistabek min haner, kilu kava. When it does go out, it's as though you did it. when it does go out, it's as though you did it. Why? Because since there are these two garmim to the fire, namely the kibui and the shemen and the psila, so when you add or you detract from the shemen, even though again he's acknowledging and to some degree it's technical, that's not considered grama and your chayev. Now the question is, what's the pshat in here, right? In other words, it's a funny thing, because on the one hand he is acknowledging it's grama, and nevertheless he's saying it's chayev because it's part of one system, right? It's not chutzalo, but it's it, right? It's the shemen that's burning now, and you've added or detracted from that shemen that's burning now. So it sounds to me like what he's saying is that even though the practical effect of this only takes place later, there's an immediate effect because it's the shemen that's burning that has been removed. Which shemen are you taking? All the shemen is one shemen. And even, by the way, he's willing to say this by the residual oil, right? When you take from the eggshell. The point is that all of the shemen that is part of this unit is burning. So lemaisa, when you take away from the oil, which is burning, the effect is only noticeable later on because it's going to go out in 10 minutes instead of 20 minutes. But still, right now the shemen is burning and you've touched that shemen. You've taken off from that shemen. And that type of grama is not considered grama. It's considered biadayim and chayev. As opposed to putting the water around it, since that's davar shechutzalo, so that is considered indirect. In other words, the answer, I think, that the Rush is saying is that on a technical level, this is not considered grama. This is considered biadayim. Now, this is a different type of answer than, let's say, the Zohar Beruach type answer is understood by Rashi or Ran or Rach. The Zohar Beruach Chumra, according to Rashi, Rach, etc., is basically saying that when it is grama on technical grounds, but it's melachas machsheves, you're machavin lakach, and it's normal, or it's immediate, or it's inevitable. So then, even though on technical grounds, it's grama, still you're nevertheless chayev, right? To put it differently, even though by nezikin you would be potter, by Shabbos you're chayev. Mashein kain, when it comes to the answer of the Rush is saying, no, on technical grounds, this isn't grama. It is indirect in a certain sense. That's why he does say, you know, he calls it grama, but on technical grounds, this isn't grama. In other words, b'chiyai gavna in nezikin, I don't know if you could have such a case, but if you did, you would be chayev, right? Maybe by adding fuel to something that causes it to burn and destroy the object. So the point is that that's what he's saying. He's saying that, so he's not saying that, he's not saying the type of chiluk that, you know, we saw in some of the Achronim to explain the non-Rush view, which is that even though it's grama, you're still chayev because melachas machsheves. Rather, what he's saying is this isn't grama. No, it's not clear, and I acknowledge you could probably read it differently, but that's the way I'm reading it.
Hi there.
Okay.
Well, could I ask a question or two?
Or you, sure.
Okay. One of the things is I'm not. This is maybe related to what you were saying. It's been taken for granted all along. The Zohar is a kind of grama. Now I can see it's grama borer. However, if the act of Zohar is defined as throwing the weed into the wind, weed up in the air in this context where there's wind around, it can carry it away. So the Zohar is not the separation which gets achieved, although that's the goal.
Good. That's exactly what the Rosh was saying. Uh-huh. That's the way the Rosh, the Pashup Shot, the Rosh is reading the Gemara Bava Kama. In which case, exactly what you're saying. You don't prove anything from that Gemara Bava Kama about Grama B'Shabbos being more likely to be Chayav. It's just telling you that when one of the Lamatas Malachos is done through Grama, that is the act, so then it's not Grama and you're Chayav regardless. As opposed to, let's say, the way Rashi's reading that Gemara, the way Rashi reads the Gemara Bava Kama is saying that you see from that anytime you're Mechavein Lekach, even though it is Grama, you're Chayav. The Rashi is saying no. The pshat is that since the Torah asserted Zorah, so then we're not going to define Zorah the way you put it as separating the wheat from the chaff as much as the act of throwing wheat in the air and allowing the wind to separate it. That's exactly correct, according to the Rosh.
Does anybody say the Noteya is a grama?
So
there are two. The mice is to put the seed into the soil, and it normally
will not relate. That relates to the machlokas between the Rashash and the Minchas Chinuch, how you define the malacha of Zoreya. Is the malacha putting it in the ground, right? Or is the malacha causing it to, you know, causing the sprouting of the seed? In other words, right, so the nafka mina over there would be, what's the halacha if you were to put the seed into the ground on Shabbos, and then before it sprouted, and you know, usually it takes many days to sprout, you removed it. That is the machlokas. So that's exactly correct. That is a debate how to understand it.
And we've seen that Zohar is more direct than the Noteya, because it normally happens right away.
That's exactly the reason why the Pashtus is everybody would agree by Zoreya, it's the Mechai, not everyone, but the mainstream view by Zoreya is that the Mechai is putting it in the ground, and therefore taking it out would not be. And the reason is because the blossoming will almost never happen on Shabbos, as opposed to Zoreya. Zohar, you're not compelled to say that because the result happens on Shabbos. It happens almost immediately. The reason why Zoreya is arguably different is because since the result almost never happens immediately, there's very good reason to assume that the act, that the Machayev is putting it in the ground and not the actual sprouting.
Okay. The other thing is that, again, question of how defining exactly what grama is, that removing the roof from the ches makes two zainim, and that's called grama. It would seem to me that it's...
I wouldn't say that it's grama, exactly, but...
It's indirect.
The point, I wanted to bring more of a raya from the Ran than the Rashba. The point over there was, the Rashba says, the fact that your Chayav shows me that this is ksiva in other areas of Torah. So on you'd also would be kasher for a get. And the Ran says, no, they can't extrapolate. It's only Shabbos because Melechus Machsheves Asra Torah. So what he's saying is that even though this isn't considered ksiva means writing the letters and not creating the letters through non-writing. But that's irrelevant on Shabbos because Melachas Mach Shabbos. So what I was arguing, not me, but the Achronim, we're arguing is you see from that Ran that he maintains that Melachas Mach Shabbos is a broad principle, much like the way Rashi and Rabbeinu Hananel seem to be learning the Gemara Bava Kama. You don't have to call Chaktuchos grama for this point to still be valid.
Okay, because I was thinking that one can applying that sort of idea to Kibui, I don't know if this is getting too fine hair splitting, but in the case of normal grama, you do something which will eventually cause the actual masa of the malacha to happen. Whereas in the case of putting water around the fire, so you're doing something which will cause, when the fire reaches it, it'll go out mamela. I mean, and from a human standpoint, you're indirectly putting it out. But I'm saying the, in terms of very technical, you're not doing something which will, for example, if you have some Rube Goldberg contraption, which then you press a button and after who knows what happens, eventually water is dumped on the fire. That would be the masa of kibui. But when fire goes out because it runs out of fuel, that's not, that's it, the fire is kova. It's not mechuba. If you want, you know.
Yes, that is a point that certainly some of the Achronim make. It's a very good point, which is that is the pshat in the case of, in fact, that's the way. And that's the way the Ran was mechalek between the case of the spark hitting the cup of water versus the case of putting water on the talus. That's exactly the chiluk that the Ran said. The Ran, remember, let's go back to that. The Ran asked the Shaila to argue with the Rif, right? The Rif didn't say this, but the Rif was bothered by the following kasha, according to the Ramban. The Rif said that we know it's aser to put a cup of water under a candle because the sparks will, it will put out the sparks, right? But it's mutter to surround the talus, to put water on the talus, so that way it will put out the fire. So the Rif was bothered, why should they be different? They're both equally grama. So the Ran answered that the difference between those two acts is that in the case of the spark hitting the water is putting out the spark. Whereas in the case of the fire spreading and reaching the wet talus, so it's not, the water in that case doesn't really put out the fire as much as it prevents the fire from going forward. The fire goes out because it runs out of fuel, because the talus, you know, is already burnt and it can't go forward because the talus going forward is wet. So mimela goes out. Like you said, the difference between being mechabe and creating mechubeh. So that chiluk is exactly what the Ran states in order to answer the kasha of the Rif.
Mm-hmm. Well, by the kli does go out. By the kli and it breaks, it is a nice mechabe. Meaning it's actually putting out at source, not like by the talus.
By what? By which case?
Pizza's shell kli, mole mayim. It's different than talus. My magabe.
That's exactly what the Ran is. That's what the Ran's chiluk is.
I think Moshe was saying by understood by Mechitzah Shel Kelim as well.
By Mechitzah Shel Kelim, so by Mechitzah Shel Kelim, that chiluk isn't true, I think. But you're right. In that case, it's so indirect. There's that added step that it has to burn down the kelim that for sure would be grama. That make sense? Okay.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, these are very hard sugyas. Very, like you said, Moshe, a little bit hair splitting.
Okay.
Have a good day, everyone.
Hope you hear it 3 o'clock.
Can I ask you a question about Akam? But you're still recording.
Yeah, I'm going to turn it off.